Good morning and welcome, welcome, welcome. It is time now for our community connection right here on K1, the one you trust. It is 8:33, sunshine, 39 degrees, and we're brought to you by Tall Grass Motors and Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home. Well, today is the day that we talk to our friends from the county, and we also have our district attorney in here from the district attorney's office, Kevin Buchanan. And Kevin, welcome back. It's been a while.
It has been. I'm glad to be back.
Now, we've got a few legal questions that you and I were just tossing back and forth. I was asking the questions, and you were answering them mighty well. Now, the first one, we have a state question that's on the ballot that involves sentencing.
Correct.
Can we go over that real quick?
It's Proposition 805, and what it involves is what they call sentence enhancing. So, in the state of Oklahoma, prosecutors like myself, when we get a new charge in, mm-hmm. we're going to look at your criminal history, because if you have a prior criminal history, some of it may be applicable to enhancing punishment for the crime you've just been accused of.
Uh-huh.
So there's really four components to this thing that voters need to understand, okay? And I'll try and cover them quickly in a way we can all understand them. Mm-hmm. First of all, there's the difference between a violent crime and a nonviolent crime.
Mm-hmm.
This proposition does not affect violent crimes. It does affect nonviolent crimes. So an example, though, the problem with this is an example of a nonviolent crime is domestic abuse against a pregnant woman, domestic abuse with a dangerous weapon, domestic abuse causing great bodily harm.
Mm-hmm.
None of those under this provision will be defined as a violent crime. So that means sentence enhancement cannot be used against a person who's committed that crime. Their past cannot be used against them. So no matter how many times they commit domestic violence with a dangerous weapon against a partner, we can only treat them as it's their first time every time if 805 passes. So that there's some problems that are not being discussed out there as to what is and is not a violent crime.
Mm-hmm.
What you will not see on the ballot, but it is in the full language, is the list of crimes defined as violent is frozen in time as of January 1, 2020. So the legislature can't say, wait a minute, we've got a problem. We need to define domestic violence as a violent crime. We want to add that to the violent crime list.
It's in the name.
Correct. But if voters pass 805, mm-hmm. the list is frozen January 1, 2020.
Yeah.
So our legislature last session, very limited session as it was, did add many of the domestic violence crimes to the violent crime list. It doesn't go into effect until a month from yesterday, November 1.
Oh, boy.
So it's on the list as of November 1. But if we vote 805 in as law, nothing can be added to the list after January 1, 2020. So those domestic violence crimes will not be included as violent, and we can never prosecute a person as if it's their second, third, or eighth time. Always have to pretend it's their first.
Wow. Sounds like it needs work.
So there's the violent versus nonviolent component of this. This is also a constitutional change. So the criminal law or criminal justice reformers, as they call themselves, have figured out if they go in and make a change or propose a vote to make a change to the statutes, our legislators, if we go down the road and say this wasn't a good idea, we need to tinker with this, change this, or get rid of it,
mm-hmm.
then the legislature can do that. If it's a constitutional change, our legislature can do nothing about it. It has to go back to a vote of the people again.
Mm-hmm.
Millions of dollars in advertising have to be spent. I'm just going to be honest, the lies in the advertising will be spun. And the only way to change something that is a constitutional provision is by a vote of the people.
Oh boy.
So they figured that out, and they want this to be a constitutional change. So that if it turns out not to be what we thought it was, not good, legislature can't fix it. Another vote of the people is required. So that's a second component that is problematic in this. third is this, we touched on it a little bit, this deals with future crimes. So crimes that are being committed today, tomorrow, after this proposition, if it were to be voted in, it applies to the nonviolent crimes. So that's like, as I've mentioned, domestic violence. It also, a number of crimes that are not defined as violent are things like hate crimes, child trafficking, transmission of child pornography, all animal cruelty crimes, partial birth abortion. None of those are violent crimes. So in the future, anybody committing those or things like larceny of merchandise, shoplifting, as we normally call it, or second-degree burglary, which means you and I are sitting here in the radio station right now, and somebody is in our home. They've busted out a back window, gone in our home, and stolen our property. That is a nonviolent crime. Now, you can imagine how that might change if you or I happen to decide to forget our glasses, and we need to go back home, and we walk in on that. But the bottom line is, it's nonviolent. This provision would mean that a person committing that the first time, third time, 19th time, I have to treat him as if it was his first.
Boy, oh boy.
The maximum punishment for that is 7 years. Here's the problem that nobody's also not talking about. Department of Corrections. The legislature says you serve 1/4 of your time in the Department of Corrections, you're eligible to be released. So a 7-year sentence is what? Just short of 2 years, 20 months, and you're out. So that's the way the law is already. You serve 1/4 of your time. Well, a felony domestic violence is 5 years. So that means you get out in 15 months. So I'll put this to you. If this goes into effect and I have somebody commit felony domestic violence, the maximum term they get is 5 years. They go to prison. They're eligible to be released in 15 months. They get out and go back to that partner who testified against them and commit another domestic violence. I could put them in prison for another 5 years. They're out in another 15 months before the first 5-year time period I put them in prison even has lapsed. And that will go on ad nauseum. 5 years, 5 years, 5 years, 5 years, no matter how many times, okay? Driving under the influence of alcohol, nonviolent offense. We have a gentleman by the name of Garwood Von Martin who lives in this district. Mr. Von Martin has 8 felony DUIs. If Mr. Martin commits another one and 805 is passed, the maximum sentence for him is 5 years. He's out drinking and driving again in 15 months. So this is what's already in place to get nonviolent offenders out of prison early. I mean, a 20-year sentence is 5 years. That's what it means in terms of going to prison for the Department of Corrections. So people say, well, if they're only stealing money from Walmart, or they're stealing property from Walmart, over $1,000, because it has to be that for a felony, then they're not hurting anybody. Well, at some point in time, when you've done your third, your fourth, your fifth time, you're telling me, the system, the judge, I'm not going to change. So does my community want me to protect the community from those folks, or just to let them go back out on the street in a few months and let them go right back to stealing again? I think I know the answer to that. 805 takes away prosecutors' ability to take those people like Mr. Martin, like I'm prosecuting a woman right now who has like 14 or 15 California felonies. We found her with boxes of empty checks and everything to create checks, go out, steal your mail, get your checking information, and create checks to write on your account. Nonviolent, but she's been convicted in California 14 or 15 times. So at what point do we decide we need a break from you in our society. Okay? That's my viewpoint. Okay, now let's go to the fourth thing that we need to look at. Past convictions. 805 says anybody who's currently in prison, whose sentence has been enhanced by prior convictions, can come to court and be resentenced to a sentence equivalent to their first time. So prosecutors and judges all over this state, if this passes, we will spend months resentencing people who've gone to jury trial, whose citizens of Washington County have said, we've looked at this case, we've understood what your background is, and we think you should go to prison for 15 years. They'll come back, second degree burglary, the judge will have to resentence them to 7 years, and they will be released probably that day. Because, as I said, it's only a quarter of your time. Mm-hmm. One other provision that people don't talk about that releases people early from prison is the ankle monitor program. So, I'm going to go back to my domestic violence, first felony offense, 5-year maximum. The ankle monitor program says if you have a nonviolent offense, under definition, that's mm-hmm. domestic violence felony, and you're sentenced to 5 years or less, that's the maximum for domestic violence felony, you're eligible to be released in 90 days with an ankle monitor on your ankle. 90 days on a 5-year sentence. So, 805 cripples the state of Oklahoma from taking those career criminals. Nonviolent, if that's what you want to call it, but nonviolent career criminals. It keeps us from any relief to the public to take them off the streets for any period of time.
Wow. Wow, that's a whole lot to digest. And for folks who have yet to cast your ballot, you might want to take this under advisement and think it through.
Yeah, I want to note that Governor Stitt has come out against 805. Mm-hmm. Former Governor Keating has come out against 805. You're going to see in the ads on TV, I saw my first one last week, and at the very end it says, endorsed by prosecutors and law enforcement.
Where?
There is one district attorney out of 27 in the state of Oklahoma who was backed and elected by a group of criminal justice reformers mm-hmm. in Shawnee, Oklahoma, who has come out and said he's in favor of it, and those lawyers in his office.
That's it?
All 26 others are adamantly opposed to this.
Wow. That's a lot of information, and I think it's a lot of information that many people were not aware of. Thanks for bringing that to light.
I agree. And if you think, well, Bartlesville's a relatively calm, we don't have a lot of crime here in Bartlesville, I will assure you, my office is inundated. Theft is rampant in our community. Yeah. Drugs are rampant in our community. People addicted, people using. We just had a murder this week. Happened on the west edge of town in Osage County. Mm-hmm. All the players are Bartlesville people. When the murder was over, they all came back into our community. And it was all over medicine, also known as marijuana. We had a murder over marijuana. In this day and age, you would think, why would that happen? It still happens. So if we don't have the ability to take those people who are proving to the system that we are going to be career criminals off our streets and give our citizens a break for some period of time from their criminal behavior, it's only going to get worse.
Kevin Buchanan, our district attorney, I thank you for being with us here and sharing this information on our community connection today.
You bet.
All righty. Folks, we'll be right back in just a moment. This has been brought to you by Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home and Tall Grass Motors on K1, the one you trust. Maybe.